This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We're going to start with a nice word in Parshas Metzora. Yechdei Shirim talks about the Taharas and Metzora, including the Aizav and the Eres. Rashi explains that if somebody's a Balgava, somebody's a big shot, arrogant, and that's what brought him to saying Lashon Hara on other people, or doing other things that he shouldn't have done, which is why he got the Tzaras in the first place, so Yashpil Atzmoy Ka'Aizav. He should bring himself down from being the big Eres, that tall tree, that's so arrogant, and he should be mashpul himself to be like the eyes of the small piece of grass. So the Shirim explains that the same thing is the other way around. Somebody who doesn't think enough of himself, somebody who thinks too low of himself, and that's why he thinks that it doesn't matter what he does, his mitzvahs, his masam toivim, it's not significant. He doesn't really make a difference. Such a person has to have the eras to now bring himself back up and to know his importance. We all should think highly of ourselves, knowing that our actions, our mitzvahs and masam tovim are all significant and important for Hashem, and it's a lesson for everyone. I often mention this when it comes to relationships. It's the balance, and knowing how to assess things properly is a very difficult one. There are people that are too quick to speak, too quick to express themselves, too quick to impose their opinion on others, too quick to control how things have to be done all around them, with all the people around them in their homes. Those are the people that have to go from being an Eres down to an Aizer. Chill, calm down. There are more people there. Give space. Be respectful. Not everyone has to do things your way. You have to know what belongs to who. Why are you looking to control people? Why do people have to take you so seriously? Maybe the other way around. And then you have sometimes the other way, where somebody doesn't think enough of himself, doesn't think that he has the right to speak, doesn't think he has the right to express himself, doesn't feel that he's important enough that somebody should be taking him seriously, etc. And in those cases, sometimes it's important for people to know that, yeah, you are someone, and your opinions are important, and you should be able to express yourself and say what's on your mind and what's in your heart, and just to be mavater all day and just to make believe everything's fine, sometimes it's not the right way to go. Now, it's very tricky to know how to apply this. Sometimes the people that are really the Eres think they're being the Aizav, and they just become a bigger Eres. And you have the people who are really Aizav, and they think they're Eres, and now they're being even a bigger Aizav. And this is why sometimes it's really hard to give over the clarity. And sometimes, you know, we just have to understand the concept better and try to do some introspection and be honest with ourselves. So let me read a question. Shalom, Rabbi Gruen, can you give me advice on how to deal with this? My wife has A. So I'm leaving out the example on purpose. Not just for identification purposes, because it's irrelevant, the example, as I'll soon explain. My wife has something on her face that bothers me, and I'm not sure how to tell her without insulting her. Last year, she had a similar issue, some kind of skin condition, that really bothered me. And I asked her to go to a dermatologist. It was said nicely, and she dragged it out, and it took time, but eventually she did it. I myself had pimples removed by a dermatologist. I don't want to hurt her feelings by telling her about this thing that's bothered me. What can I do this time? Now, like a lot of questions people send in, it might sound trivial to a lot of people listening to this. You know, okay, so this one has a skin condition, this one has a whatever, this one has a cut, this one has a scar, this one has a pimple. Everyone has their little thing, and you know, is that really what's on your mind? I can't pay my bills. This one has nebuch hakiru of the derech. This one's waiting for a shidduch, you know, for five children, and he's busy with something trivial or ridiculous. Now, I don't see it that way, first of all, and I'm trying to explain to anyone listening to this that anything bothering anyone is not trivial. You know, if somebody could trivialize their own issues that's bothering them and take overcome the issue, not just put it to the side thinking that they're not important enough to have one, that's wonderful. But if something's bothering someone, it's bothering them. And to tell someone not to make a big deal about something, that's ridiculous. As a matter of fact, it's just coming to mind now, talking about pimples. I remember when somebody told me, it's probably incorrect. I'm just repeating it because it's how people feel. And if someone's feeling that way, then it's a feeling. So hearing about the other person's cancer doesn't make my pimple bother me less. That's what he said. I'm bothered by the fact that I have a pimple, and it bothers me, and I'm self-conscious about it. Knowing that somebody else is suffering from cancer just doesn't affect the way I feel about my pimple. Now, maybe it should. And I think that if we'd all be grateful enough for what we do have, and we'd all be looking at all the people that have less than us, then yes, that would be the right mindset. But that's not something we can impose on other people. If anything, it's something for ourselves. When someone's bothered by something, they're bothered by it. And almost anything that's bothering anyone, you'll find people that are suffering even more than them, right? And people that have even less than them. And you know, that's not a reason to trivialize what's bothering someone else. So that's just what I wanted to start off with. Now, this is definitely a sensitive topic, right? Telling a woman even a man sometimes, but telling a woman, telling your wife that, you know, something on your face or something about you is bothersome to me. I don't want to look at you, or I don't like looking at you, or you're not pleasant to look at, or however you're going to try to address this. It's very sensitive. Very sensitive. Don't question sensitivity. I was just talking about not questioning somebody's issues that's bothering them. Don't question someone's sensitivity. Why are you taking this personal? Why are you taking it personal? So I don't like to look at you. So no. Don't be ridiculous. People do take things personally, and just like you wouldn't want me to question why it's bothering you, you wouldn't want to question why your wife could be insulted by the fact that you don't think she looks good, or something about the way she looks is bothering you. It's very important to know that. There are topics that, as much as they bother you, they're just not worth bringing up if they won't be taken well. Somebody is not going to know how to handle something that's very insulting. You just have to. It's just so important to know this. Some people know it from experience, because they know looking back that it just wasn't worth bringing it up. You brought it up because you thought it was going to get better, but it didn't. In the meantime, you're left with more damage and hurt feelings. And everything brought up has to be thought through and assessed, especially when you're talking about something sensitive. And sometimes the more it bothers you, it's just because the more sensitive it is. The more it bothers you, the more obvious it is. The more it bothers you, the more self-conscious someone is about it. The more it bothers you, maybe the more it's bothering everyone else, and it's just making this person feel very bad. You definitely have to be very careful when you're bringing up sensitive things. And even if somebody has the right to express himself, and maybe sometimes should, it has to be worth it. Definitely have to think things through. And it's sad when people do reckless, careless things that you know they get stuck on for the rest of their lives because they said something, and it's very hard to pull back on that. Now, let me just talk about the idea of somebody who is bothered by how his wife looks. Right? It's easy to say, people get idealistic, you know, love is not about looks. Love is not about looks. You should love their essence. You should see the beauty of their insides. Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, right? There's a lot of different nice cliche statements that we say, and we try to get people to not care how things look, whether it's their house or their wife or their car or anything. And, you know, it's idealistic. Idealistic doesn't mean that we shouldn't strive to get there, but it's not something you can impose on someone. We know Chazal say, you shouldn't marry someone, you shouldn't be mekadosh someone without seeing her first. Why? Shamat is gana ulav. Right? She may look disgusting. He might be disgusted by her looks, let's call it. And be over and after la kamoich. It's hard to love someone if you're disgusted by how they look. Now that's a gemura. Chazal were worried about this. It would be irresponsible to say, oh, I heard this is a wonderful person with a wonderful character. Here you are, you'll be my wife. I'll find out what you look like, later. That doesn't just mean that she doesn't have any big blemish or balmim. You know, it just means that you know people should like the way each other looks. So understanding that somebody might be turned off by how someone else looks is something that Chazal took seriously. And any parents that are doing a shidduch and not caring what the child might be thinking, I think is falling into the same issue of not realizing that somebody could be disgusted by how someone else looks, and it's a turn off, and it gets in the way of the v'ahavt l'rach kamoichu. Chazal understood that looks could get in the way of love. And that's something that we just have to be realistic and understand that that's just reality. Now, this doesn't mean that people should now be controlling other people how they look. And I'm assuming that this person who's bothered by how his wife looks did see her before they got married. Maybe it wasn't always like that and whatever. I'm just trying to give the balanced perspective. You know, for a woman to say, well, you shouldn't care if I look good or not, it's wrong. It's wrong. People do care. For a man to say that because he doesn't like how someone looks, it means they must now all of a sudden dress differently or do things differently or go to a doctor because of it. You know, it's a balance of understanding what the issue really is. Now, if somebody could tolerate it and they just don't want to, if somebody really doesn't care that much, but, you know, I care, so why not let me say something? In the meantime, someone else is getting hurt by it. So everything has to be judged accordingly. How much does it bother you? How much will it bother them? How much could you tolerate or can't tolerate? How much is it getting in the way of the relationship? How much could you get over it? How offended will someone be? And obviously, when you offend someone like that, maybe you're not even giving a chance to love each other anymore. It also goes into the concept of what I talk about often, boundaries, mine, yours, and ours. It's easy to tell someone, well, you have to do something a certain way because, well, if you love me and care for me, you wouldn't want to do something the way I don't want, right? But that's wrong. It's someone else. And you want them to do something. It belongs to them. You have to give someone a choice. To be controlling just because it bothers you is also wrong. I think everyone would start controlling the other person if they were able to. If they were able to, and it was the right thing to do. You know, I want you to do something this way. Oh, today I want you to do it differently. So this is all something to take into account. Now, If the issue that you're describing, and I left out the example because it doesn't matter what the example is. If the issue you're describing is something that is bothering you enough that you feel you really want to say something about it, and if you don't, it's just going to keep on eating at you and making you feel more distant from your wife, and you feel that maybe she'll take it not so bad because it seems like last time you mentioned something about some skin condition, it dragged out, but she took care of it, and you didn't write that she was very offended by it either, so I don't know. I think at the right time, you could communicate something like this if you do it the right way. Now, some people, they like making their case bigger. Whenever I talk about these topics, I like bringing this out because this is an extra common mistake. When I want you to change something, so the way I want to do it is by making my case very big. I'll talk about how nobody would leave this unaddressed. Every wife would care to look better than you do. Every husband would probably just run away, right? And I asked you 6 times, and I went to a dermatologist myself, so there's no reason why you're not doing it. And it doesn't even cost money because insurance is paying for it. And you know, by the time you build this huge case against someone, so it looks so obvious, they must now go running and taking care of it because I just made a huge case against you, right? You're gonna topple all my big arguments. In the meantime, it's mama's just the opposite. It's mama's just the opposite. The bigger the case, the more offended someone gets. The bigger the claim, the more certainty, the more force, the more control, the more resistant and the more defensive someone gets. It's so important to realize that when you're making against someone a huge case, so naturally they get defensive and they have to justify why this huge case against them is not accurate, because if it was, then they should have been taking care of this a long time ago. So you're basically just making it harder for them to realize that you're right. And that's aside from the fact that by the time you're making a huge case, you're showing that you're quite insecure about your case if you have to make it so huge. But anyway, I think just 4 points that I would mention, and it's just for this example, I'm just trying to help you understand the idea better. I think it's important to tell your wife that she looks beautiful. Now, of course, you have to say it in a way that, you know, that she'll take it from you and believe it. My point is that when you tell someone, well, I really can't stand how you look, I mean, your mom looks disgusting, well, it's not me, you know, it might make it sound like they should do something about it quicker, but in the meantime, it's the other way around. When you tell someone, you look beautiful, and this issue that's bothering me is not because you don't look good. So hearing that might make it just somewhat easier for someone. Number two, when you tell someone that this is your issue and not their issue, it just makes it so much easier. Maybe it's my OCD, maybe I'm just crazy, I don't even know why it bothers me, I'm ashamed of the fact that it bothers me. It's not your issue, it's not something that anyone would want to take care of, even if I couldn't care less, but for you, don't do that. If it's your issue, it makes it easier to communicate and makes it less challenging and personal. Point number three, she doesn't have to. When you tell someone, you know, it's really not right that you're not doing this. I mean, it's only normal. I don't understand. You don't have to. The less someone has to, the easier it is sometimes for them to take care of something. As opposed to when you tell someone they have to, and they start fighting back, at least in their mind, I don't have to. Why are you making me? It just makes it harder. And the last thing is that if you are clear about the fact that you'll appreciate if someone does it for you, instead of making it sound like it's expected or a given, that's also a killer. It's a killer. You know, I think this is only normal to take care of. Like, the more expected and the more given it is to take care of, the less you'll appreciate it. Well, I have to appreciate that you're taking care of yourself? Yes, I'll appreciate it if you do it for me. Usually when you communicate things this way, they could be taken well. Now, like I said, it depends on the example, depends if it's worth it, depends how the person will take it. But generally when you communicate things like that, and you make your case smaller and more about yourself and less about the other person, it will usually go over better. Now, there's a compensation that I tell people often. When you get tougher on someone, you got to be nicer to them. When you're getting more specific, or you're putting your foot down about certain issues, sometimes it's good to be nicer or softer about other issues. So when you're trying to get someone to take you seriously over here by being assertive and expressing something that's bothering you, I think it's very important to make sure the person you're talking to feels even better than they did before. Right? You don't want this to challenge a certain comfort that they had till now. You want to make them even more comfortable. Whether it means giving more compliments about other things, whether it means just being more warm and loving and connecting, whatever else, compensation is definitely important. So I'll end off by saying that it could be that in this example that you're talking about, this was not the right answer. It could be, I don't know. It could be the example you're talking about, it's so small and you're just OCDing about something, or you're just obsessing about something, or maybe in your case, you're going to be obsessing about something else every week and you're just making your wife crazy. I don't know. It could be in this case, this was the wrong answer. But I think that it's important for people to understand that sometimes, even with sensitive topics, you're allowed to bring it up, and if it's bothering you enough and you do it the right way, you can take care of things, and why not? If we could resolve issues that are bothering people by communicating nicely and being understanding of each other, and thinking before we speak, I think very often that's the right thing to do. It would be a shame to not do it if it could be done right. So I think that, just to recap, you know, this definitely is a sensitive topic, and it has to be assessed properly. Obsessing over looks too much is not good. Then again, there is some truth to it, that people do get turned off by certain looks, and sometimes it's bothering you enough, it's worth addressing. And communicating nicely and clearly in a gentle way, in the right time, in the right manner, together with compensating whenever you're challenging someone in any way, I think this could definitely help us get things right. So I think this is just a good example of where the Aizav and the Eiras need to balance out. I don't know if you're someone that's too quiet and never saying anything, and it's okay if you speak up and say something's bothering you, like a lot of people have to hear. Or the other way around, you're busy a whole day telling someone what bothers you, and it's time to just quiet down and realize, you know, chill, not everything has to go your way, you don't have to say everything on your mind. So I think that, you know, when we think these things through, we try to make the good assessments and good decisions, and communicate properly with the right understanding, and I yourself, we could all live together.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.